Father, we thank you, God, that already my message is being lived out this morning. I like that. You like that because it's really your message. We pray that it would only go higher and only go deeper, Father, in each person's heart and life. I mean it. I want that. And I know, Holy Spirit, you're not one to hold back. And so just be released. We're in agreement with you. Be released in each person's heart, Father, in the freedom that they need, the freedom that they can enjoy in you. We bless your name. We thank you, God, that that freedom will lead to joy, will lead to strength, and we will comfort others. Thank you, Lord. You can do it. In us, we're open for you to do your amazing work in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a thought this week with the election and all that, and I know there's a lot of things being said in the body of Christ over the results of the election. There's some encouraging news for all of us. You have a higher position than anyone that was elected in the election. Each one of you has a higher calling, a higher position, a higher name, and you don't have to go through a ballot. You don't have to go through the election. The election's over. If you know Jesus, the election's over. You're elected. You have so many responsibilities in the kingdom and so many positions in the kingdom and so many good names in the kingdom that you're much higher than any elected official on earth or anyone that's placed themselves in a position of a king or queen or anything else. The thing is, I don't think we believe it. I saw you shaking your heads. I heard a couple of, yeah, amen. I don't think we believe it yet. So I'm going to suggest we soak this morning in our hearts some of these things that I'm going to share, especially at the beginning. And then by the end, you won't even need to apply or work hard at what's supposed to be the result of all that. It'll just be in there. Because I think across the body of Christ, if we were to ask people, you know, what are some of the benefits of being a Christian? I've seen the lists on the internet. I've heard messages over the years about all the benefits we have as Christians. And yet, man, a lot of my time is spent talking to some of those saints that need encouragement. Or need bondage or something turned around in their life. Wow. Look at this. So we'll get to that after we have Anna. How would you like to see some things going on in northern Ghana? Cynthia preaches at Life Christian Center, Amasaman headquarters. Come on. The team ministers Father's love to the members of the Amasaman branch during their week of prayer and fasting. Oh, yeah. Rick ministers to a woman at Amasaman branch. So the Amasaman branch is where Pastor Samuel's main church is. At his house. Actually, they have a metal area just outside his house, and they... Okay. More ministry at the Amasaman branch. Number 6 will be more ministry at the Amasaman branch. That's Dylan. There's Cynthia. Ministering. Aha! And just that quick, we went several hundred miles to the north. Wow, it didn't take us long. Why did it take them 16 hours? This is the completed FMI house on the property that we own. The land was given to us by a Muslim chief. Long story with that. He eventually received the Lord before he died. Okay, this is for the Kingdom Bible School. That metal roof wasn't there before. And so the winds and the rains and so on took down the wood before over and over again. But not that sheeting. It's not going to take that down. So that's where they'll hold the Kingdom Bible School this week. And they're putting up the tents to prepare for the people coming for the Bible school. They're looking at pictures from previous Kingdom Bible schools, remembering the good things the Lord has done to prepare for the upcoming Kingdom Bible school. This is Emmanuel. He's a leader at Life Christian Center branch in Tuna. He's sharing his testimony about how the Lord has used the Kingdom Bible School in his life in past years. And Pastor Stephen is the other, the shorter one there. He often translates for Pastor Mary Pat, myself, and others. Okay, this is Amadou, leader at the Sanieri branch church. He shares his testimony of how the Lord has used the Kingdom Bible School to open doors for him to share his faith with his father, who is a professor. And Peter came to Kingdom Bible School back in 2009. His life was so affected that he went to a village in a different area and started a church which is thriving today. That's Peter on the right. Wow, she looks beautiful there. Okay, Pastor Mary Pat with a married couple at Life Christian Center Sala branch, which is the one right near our land. PMP invited the husbands to sit by their wives as she shared about the joy of the Lord. They normally sit, you know, males on one side, females on the other side. Pastor Mary Pat doesn't stand for that. Cynthia shares with leaders at Kingdom Bible School about the importance of spiritual family and connectedness. And Andy teaches at Tuna Branch Church on Sunday morning about letting the Lord fight for you, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Awesome. Now that was just a few hours ago, so we're getting the fresh stuff. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for taking our team there, your team, safely. They're already ministering for Empower, doing amazing things, being put forth and changing the atmosphere in northern Ghana. Father, we pray that the Muslim stronghold will be broken in northern Ghana. And we want you to empower this team to do that for your namesake. We give you the praise. We honor you. We love you, Lord. Take care of them, especially that one beautiful pastor, Father. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's go to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Is that true? Yes, it is. So if it's true, it boils down to, will we believe it? Will we receive it? Is this what we really want operating in our lives? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, coming down, residing in our hearts, and making a difference with our lives. Is that what we want? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, one of Lawrence's favorite passages, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. So once it started with Jesus, it never stopped. It's a tidal wave. It gets inside of our hearts, and it shouldn't stop in our hearts either. How do we get there? How do we make that something that is such a driving force inside of us, we can't stay away from praying for and with other Christians? We don't make the typical excuses of, well, I don't have enough time for this or that in the Lord. How do we get there? How does it become the truth operating in our life? This passage says you do not have to beg. You don't have to beg for spiritual levels in Christ Jesus. I hear almost weekly of someone wanting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and enjoy the gift of tongues. They're open to it. There's far more openness now to that than when I first became a believer. In fact, I wasn't open to it. When I heard people were speaking in tongues, I said, well, that's good for them. I'm not going to judge them, but I know God doesn't have that for me. There may be some things like that in us. Well, I know he says to go heal the sick and deliver and preach. I kind of want to do that. But maybe that's not for me. Maybe I'm not good enough yet. Maybe I'm not anointed enough yet. Maybe I'm not powerful enough yet. I hope by the time we're done with this first section that that's a settled issue. Because he says, far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. If we just think, I would like to be a more powerful believer. He goes, okay. No begging. I would like to enjoy all the things that God has for me. Okay. No begging. You have to beg, 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 beg. You take it. You soak it into your life. You let the Lord bring it to you. And he's going to do anything above you what you ask or think. And he's already done more in you that needs to be released than you could ask or think. He's already given things to you. You don't have to go through the list of what we're going to go through and ask for these things. He's given them to you. They just need to activate at a higher level. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things, no begging. He didn't spare his son. He offered his son before you were born. He knew you would receive him. He's freely going to give you everything else. You don't have to beg. It's more agreement and allowing him by belief, trust, to incorporate them into your heart and life. You may or may not, somewhere in your Christian experience, have wondered if the statement, if God is for us, who is against us, was true. Trusting that God is for you. You know, God has no problem being for us. Sometimes we have a problem with him being for us. You shouldn't be for me. I just sinned today. But I covered that sin. I took care of that sin. On the cross through Jesus, I freely gave him as a sacrifice for you. The debt has been nailed to the cross. It's not yours to bring up anymore. But I screwed up this week. I screwed up today. I screwed up just before church. We excuse ourselves from receiving all the things he freely gives us if we're not careful. We won't forgive ourselves as easily as God forgives us. We want him to judge us almost. It feels better. I deserve it. Go ahead. Judge me. I'm a screw up anyway. When we're at our worst. Okay. And yet, he has taken such pains, literally, to free us from condemnation, from judgment. Do you know the Father is not the one to judge you anymore? He gave that over to the Son. And the Son says, he's one of mine. She's one of mine. So if you're expecting this great big day to come in your future where you will be accountable before God for all your screw-ups, sorry to disappoint. It's already been nailed to the cross. You've already shown your heart by being here. You wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else. Don't let the enemy come to you and say, well, you're not good enough to be a son in the kingdom. Let's just do a little judging here for a few minutes. Let's just condemn ourselves here for a few minutes. When God says, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment anymore. Jesus really did take it. But I did something out of rebellion this week. I not only sinned, I rebelled and sinned. He factored that in. First Peter 2. 4 through 10, hopefully. I might go right to Revelation. Be careful. 1 Peter 4. It's got to be nice. Or excuse me, 1 Peter 2. It's got to be nice to have your name in the Bible and read out on Sunday morning. You don't see First Bill anywhere. First William. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But to those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Wow. Look how many new names, new benefits, new positions are in some of these passages. With this one, you're called living stones, spiritual house, holy priesthood, people of God, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his special people. And the benefits are in the passage as well. The benefits of those titles, those things that God is standing for you, God gave to you when you invited Christ in. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You're citizens, saints, dwelling place of God in the Spirit, members of the household of God, holy temple. Does it bother you? Does it bother your spirit when he says, holy? You're holy? You're holy? God does not lie. Jesus made you holy. Your life should be a journey of matching up with that. He's given you the position of holiness, and he says, live out your life to match up with that. Be holy, for I am holy. That's an impossibility without the Holy Spirit. So he says, be holy, but you are holy. In position, you're already holy. Match the position. Shoot for that position. Go for that out of gratitude, out of love. Too long in the body of Christ, we've been telling people, be holy, for I am holy, and leaving out the fact that you are holy. You need the gratitude that you are holy to even start on the path of being holy. There are some that don't have much gratitude for what God has done yet. That's what these passages are for, to build in the appreciation, to build in the opportunity for loving him for all that he's done for us. And then your obedience will follow as a natural result. Your path of walking in holiness will be the result of your falling deeper in love, of your gratitude, of your thankfulness for what God has done. My favorite holiday of the year is not Christmas. It's not my birthday. It's Thanksgiving. That's the day I enjoy the most. And it's not just the turkey and the stuffing and the stuffing of me. It's because we actually think on that day, gee, we should be thankful to God. And we remind ourselves to even be more thankful. Every day should be Thanksgiving. And you know, we would have gratefulness in our heart, and we'd probably say, oh, silly boy, don't run over there to that sin. That's stupid. Don't run over there to that habit. That's nuts. Don't get on Facebook and you know, back some cause that's ungodly. Back some lifestyle that's ungodly. That's stupid. Gosh, I'm a son. I'm in the family. I'm a royal priesthood kind of person. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, he calls us the temple of the living God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we belong to the Father and we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, we're the temple of God. How about in our temple, we do what we do here, thanksgiving, praise, right in our own temple. We have that going all the time. If we thought of ourselves as the house of God rather than some building, if we thought of all of us as the house of God together as well, there'd be a lot of things going on during the week in our hearts that would help us overcome anything. Anything. Are you better off facing a trial with joy or with fear? Why, thank you. I've trained you to do that. That's really good. I love it. And I want that to be your experience. Because I may not get there on the first try when a trial hits me, or, you know, just something that is a little bit of a challenge hits me. I may not get there on the first try. I might actually grumble, or I might complain, or I might get grousy. Grouse about it. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and goes, is this really the way you want to go through this? You know better, Pastor Bill. Ooh. And I go, you're right. How about I pick up the guitar? Now you're thinking. And you start to worship, or you're just in your car and you start to worship, or you put on some worship music and let them worship and you join them in worship, or you just lay down in your bed for a second. And you just say, I can't let this overwhelm me. I'm going to be an overcomer, not an overwhelmer. And I'm going to go into joy instead of all the negative stuff. Wow, things go differently. Things go differently. You feel much stronger in joy than you do no matter what you put into it in the negative. I'll just get mad about it. I'm going to tell that person where A starts and where Z ends. I'm going to tell them. When we go into joy instead of those things, it's amazing how people have one position and then they suddenly are warmed over to ours. Or something changes in the circumstances and they're not even part of the problem anymore. God loves to respond to our joy. He loves to respond to us saying, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a saint, I'm a citizen. This is going to go differently because I'm favored. I'm favored, when that plane dropped this week when they were on their way to Ghana. And Cynthia just kind of went, yeah. However, we're on the plane. Time to sleep. And the others on the plane, Jesus! Suddenly, they're interested. But if you know him, you don't necessarily have to cry out to Jesus. You can go and sleep, rest in your Sabbath, because he's more than a name to call out in a crisis. He's your joy and assurance on the inside. We've been teaching in the Encountering Abba class. And by the way, that class is never over. Don't ever say, oh, Encountering Abba is done. No, it's not. Never, never, never. It's never over. I'm still learning. You are still learning. But in the Encountering Abba class, I forgot my point. It's never over. That was part of it, but I went into that point and forgot the other one. I'll think of it. What? I like it. Sabbath rest. Yeah, we did talk a little bit about that. I was telling someone this week, when we first started this church and we started having people come in here that weren't used to the frontline culture that had been developed in the Bible study, we would have soaking times or even just meeting times, and people were falling asleep in the pews. Now, normally, that's a bad thing. That's a real bad thing. For a pastor to look out and, 20% of your congregation is laying in the pews, asleep or soaking or something. Awesome. Wait a minute, I'm going to write that down. She was soaking. There were others that weren't. I love it that I just bring something up and people are confessing. I don't need the screen or the curtain or the booth or anything. It just comes right out. I love it. Truth shall make you free. So, but people were at such peace, they would say after the service, I had such peace here. It was such peace that I was just enjoying that peace. I'm sorry I was sleeping during your message. I'm sorry I was soaking during your message. If they could actually say they were awake during that time. And I came to realize in my heart that when they said that was the most restful period of time I had all week, that's what they'll remember. They're not going to remember what I said up front. They're going to remember that the peace of the Lord resided in them when they were in this body, in this. It wasn't the pews. Come on, they were orange. They were dusty. And a few other things. It was the fact that most of you were at peace, and it brought a peace into the room. And the atmosphere was one of peace, and people would fall asleep. People would be soaking. People just wanted to receive something from the Lord outside the message. Now, obviously, there were some, and we're still trying to identify them, who were sleeping out of their own selfishness. And they didn't want to hear the message. We'll put out the list next bulletin. But I would rather have you experience God than hear a message. I would rather have you encounter Abba than just hear a message. Messages are forgotten often. But if you've encountered God, it's hard to forget that. Moses knew a lot of stuff about God, and he was on the backside of a desert. Everything changed when he encountered the burning bush, when he actually was on holy ground. That's what I want for you. I want you to experience these labels, these names. Listen to this one, Revelation 3. Verse 12. If you want to fall over and soak on this one, you just go right ahead. You're not going to offend me. Don't say that. Might happen. All right. 2 points. Okay, here, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore. He's not going to leave you. He's going to write on you the name of God. He's going to write on you the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. You get a new name. You get the name of God written on top of you. And you get your new address written on you. It's like you're in kindergarten and you have that little card, first day of school. Your new name. And they go, "Oh, Billy, so glad to have you here in kindergarten." I always wondered why they talked like that, but they don't want you to talk like that. They want you to, you know, say full sentences and so on, but they talk to you. "Billy, so good to have you here in kindergarten." So you've got your new name, Billy Gokey. I did this, you know, come on. Okay, and your address, so they don't lose you during the day. And the name of your teacher. So while you're walking through the school, you are one found child. And that's the way you are in the kingdom. You are one identified, found child of God. New name, new address. You have a new label of your family over the top of you. New family, new label, new address, new name, new address, new label. But you're supposed to walk around like that. Don't ever take it off. Eventually in first grade, they take it off. "Oh, that's Billy. He wasn't very good last year. He ran around scaring the girls." When I went on, I think I forgot some of that good stuff from kindergarten. Because I think it was near the end of kindergarten. I take that back. They lined us up one day. And they said, "We've got something very serious," you know, they look in your eyes, "to talk to you about today." So you know it's a serious day. Okay, so all the kindergartners are, "What could this be about?" In their kindergarten way. Some of them didn't care. You know, they don't care what kind of serious day it is. But I cared. Because they thought, maybe this has something to do with me. And sure enough, they said, "It's been reported that..." that some mailboxes have been tampered with on the way home. Now, years later, it was years later. This shows you how big your brain is in kindergarten. Years later, I realized that most of those people lined up were on the school bus going home. There was only like about 10 of us that were walkers or less that walked home from school. But they lined you all up anyway, you know. And they said, so does anyone want to come forward, or however they put it, you know. Anyone want to step out of the line and admit that they've been messing with mailboxes on the way home? And I tried to put out my best, I'm telling the truth face. But I knew I was the guilty one out of the entire line. But I thought, you know, there's a lot of people up here. Never thinking till years later, the majority of them were on the bus and they were exempt to begin with. And so I didn't step forward, and no one else did either. I was kind of hoping that, you know, somebody wasn't paying attention and they thought they were passing out ice cream and they stepped forward in my place. And so they ended the line and just kept me behind. I didn't see that as a positive development, even in kindergarten. And they said, we know you're the one. Okay. Your cousin observed you switching mail from one box to another box and dropping mail outside the box and going through people's mail on the way home. And I love when the mail comes, even to this day. I run out. The mailman sometimes drives away because he sees this man running towards the mailbox. So maybe, you know, it's something that needs deliverance, but they identified me, and I don't remember what the punishment was or anything. But today I know that when I received Jesus, Jesus stepped out of line back in kindergarten. I'm the one that switched the mail. I didn't want you to get any mail from those televangelists. No. I'm the one that switched the mail. I'm the one that threw it on the ground. I'm the one that, you know, whatever. He stepped forward. He was not a chicken heart like I was, number one, but he took my punishment for that. And he did that for everything that I've ever done. Whether I was caught or I wasn't caught, he stepped forward for each of us. I'm the one. I did it. I'll take the punishment, whatever it is. For each and everything you've done and each and everything that you will do, he stepped forward. So if you're going to feel like a screw up, what you're saying to Jesus is, no, go back in line. I'll be the one to step forward and take that punishment. But that's not what he wants. He wants to take that payment for you. He wants you to experience what these things are really about. They're not just cute little phrases. You're a chosen generation. Ooh, that has a ring to it. He wants you to believe it so deep in your heart, so soaked in it, that it changes the way you operate in your day. And when you face a trial, you quickly run to joy, because Jesus is going to face that first, or face it with you, or however you want to look at it. He's going to do it. He's going to back you up. He really is for you. He's not hoping that you'll learn your lesson. He wants to step forward, take the hit. So if you live in condemnation, you live in feeling judged or you feel less than or whatever, you're not going to reach your destiny. And he knows that. So he steps forward out of the line, takes the hit, and says, I love you. I'm with you always. Let that be your heartbeat. I'm for you, not against you. I'm for you, not against you. And suddenly, you can't help yourself. You start testifying how great he really is. You start going to neighbors, banging on their door. You get in people's stuff that you would have normally walked away from and let them deal with on their own. But it's the gratitude that has to grip our hearts, isn't it? And the love for what he's done. We have to really see what he's done. He's stepping out of line for everything. And then he gives you all these wonderful things to describe it. But if you don't know what these wonderful things are, what they look like, they're just going to be phrases to you in the Bible. His special people. Oh, that's special. You have to step in to knowing that specialness, don't you? Otherwise, it's just a phrase in the Bible, living stone. Wonder what the world that means. And these names, this new name he's given to you has such significance because it's what he thinks about you, whatever that name is. It's what he thinks about you personally. How he's going to back you up personally. How he's for you, not against you personally. He's given you a special name that says this is your destiny. This is who you really are to me. It's like a pet name that a father gives to a child. How many had a pet name from a mom or dad growing up? Okay, you don't have to have one. You know, Tommy will do. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, something else, you know. How many had names from their childhood friends they'd like to forget? Oh, yeah. Those two. But when God gives out names, they're always pure, righteous, holy, and empowering. So the name you have is a name that empowers you as well. Ever heard the song, there's a new name written down in glory? Man, when I used to sing that as a kid, it just had no impact. It was just a song. Now it's having an impact. Mr. Guy that wouldn't step out of a line to admit a fault has given all his faults to Jesus. Taking the ultimate risk, giving my life to Jesus, which is no risk at all, you find out. Because he can take care of anything. He can get you to any place that he wants to get you to. You cooperate with him. Well, just on the subject of sons and daughters, Luke 16:8, sons of light. Luke 20:36, sons of God, sons of the resurrection. John 12:36, sons of light. Acts 2:17, you're called sons and daughters. Romans 8:14-23, let's look at that one. Romans 8:14. Oops. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Adoption. You've been adopted into his family, but you're treated as though you were an original son, like you were always there. That's important. Cancels out any ways, anything that we've ever done, thought, where we were not sons or daughters acting like it at all. Where we were the other kind of sons or daughters. The sons of disobedience. The sons of this age. The sons of the evil one. There are all kinds of sons and daughters. There's sons of daughters of Jerusalem, there's daughters of Zion, there's daughters of Abraham, there's sons of Abraham, there's sons of Abraham's family, there's sons of Israel. And all the names for the sons of the disobedient. There's all kinds of sons and daughters. And believe me, they're living up to their name. They have no problem living up to their name when they've decided to reject Jesus. It's on us to receive from him in order to live up to our new name, to live up to being sons and daughters. It's more receiving than it is anything else. You can receive it by being in worship. You can receive it in your seat right now. You can receive it on the way home. You can receive it when you're home laying on your bed. You receive the truth of this and it sets you free. Why did Jesus come? Many reasons. What's one of the major ones? Galatians 5. Verse 1. And it just froze up. Someone read that for us. Yes. Okay, so why did he come? It was for freedom that Christ set you free. You see, to live up to these names, titles, positions, all these wonderful things to describe you, you're a saint, you're a son, you're a daughter, you have to be free. If you're not free, you're not going to enjoy those things. They'll be simply labels and phrases in the Bible. If you're struggling with something, then those things won't be reality for you. Struggling with something so much that it's overwhelming to you rather than you overcoming it. All of us are in the process of overcoming, right? Says that we are becoming sanctified, is the way the New Testament puts it. We're becoming set apart. Isn't that great? We already have won. We're already given all these wonderful names and phrases and titles and positions. And we just are in the process of living up to it. But there's no condemnation. There's no judgment. He's just looking at you as a child that's learning. Wow. This is the best possible life we could ever choose. Because we're already given 100% on every paper. You know that whole thing that many of us complain about? Every kid gets a trophy. Jeez. They play soccer and Nobody's the most valuable player anymore because everybody gets the same. They get a trophy and all that. And we kind of go, gee, whatever happened to, you know, special things for people and other kids getting used to that and stuff like that. Well, it might be good for some of those things that we're involved in, but for God, he really does give a trophy to every one of his children. Now, there are passages that say that he's going to reward some more than others, so he gets both sides of it. But think about that. You've already achieved the position. You've already achieved your new name. You've already been given credit and extra credit and beyond extra credit. And now he gives you a chance just to enjoy it, to step into it, to enjoy it more and more and more. Wow, there's no greater life than that. That means you're free. You're free to make mistakes. You're free to risk. You're free to try things. And if they fall through, he's still there going, you know, I'm with you. I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. That's why it's so funny when people come here and they go, you know, I haven't been at church for a while, and you know, I had this and I had that. As if I'm thinking church is the end all. This is a gathering. If we forsake it, we probably lose out, the Bible says. But every encounter we have with one another is church. Because we're considered his friends. So when we hang out, friends of Jesus are hanging out together. It could be here. It could be at a restaurant, one of my favorites. Golf course, another one of my favorites. But if we really realize who we are, we're friends of Jesus. John 15:15, you are a friend of Jesus. Whoa. What does that mean? That means if he came in here and we all bowed, he'd say, thank you very much, friends. Friends? We get to be your friend? We're bowing to you, but you're our friend. That's the way God works it. He wants to be so close to you. You're a brother. You're a friend. And he doesn't say, well, you know, I would call you a brother or friend, but you screwed up so much this week. I'm going to tell everybody you're not the best brother or friend or sister. The reason I mentioned them last, they don't screw up as much. Right? A couple people are shaking their heads. That's good. Would you allow Jesus to put his arm around you and call you friend? Or would you start saying the same thing that many people do when they come through the door? You know, I really wasn't very good this week. You shouldn't put your arm around me. Because when you accept his freedom, that's giving him worship. When you make excuses that you don't deserve it, that doesn't bring him worship. When you accept his freedom and step into it like a crazy person, like Friday night when we were pounding on the tables in the back during communion. See, some of you people are missing some things. There were drinking songs and pounding on the tables in the back during communion. If there was any religion in the room, it was gone. The right kind of drinking song. There was joy. We took a risk, and it was fun. And I think there were some people encouraged and lifted up. I don't want to be the person in the church that's the policeman. That's not my job. Go around, find people who are doing bad things, tell them, why don't you be more obedient to Jesus? I would rather be the person in the room that's one of the freest. You know, when you have Pastor Mary Pat, you have to say one of the freest. If I was just the pastor here, then maybe I could go, I want to be the freest person in the room. But every time I start to think of being the freest person in the room, I think of her and I tone it down just a little bit. Your freedom brings him the greatest glory because that's what he wants for you. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Why didn't he say it's for obedience that Christ set us free? So you would obey, and then you would get the benefits of the obedience. Because he knows you'll obey if you're free. He knows you'll obey if you're free. If you're so in love with him, you'll think sin stinks. Just like he does. And you got all these names and titles to live up to. And you go, I don't want to live up to those out of religion. That won't get me there. I tried that. Doesn't work. I think I've said it here before. When I was 19, I received the Lord. So I thought by the time I was 20, I should pretty much be living up to it. No, you're young in the Lord, enthusiastic, thinking. You know, you believe all these things because it's new and fresh. Woo, yeah, he's forgiven me. I was a dog, you know, and he forgave me. Oh, wow. I'll be a saint by the, I'll be living like a saint by the time I'm 20. Then 20 came, and I thought, there's a few things I got to work on. A few adjustments that need to be made. The discipline of the Lord is still in vogue here in my life. So then it was the goal of 30. You know, Jesus started his ministry at 30. So if I start now at 20, by the time I'm 30, and then 30 came, there were a few things to work on, a few adjustments to be made, and on it went. But from this position, when I look back, whoa! You've changed a lot of stuff. I'm not Jesus yet. I'm not even close. But when I look back over those decades, you've changed a lot of stuff. The names are more real to me. They're more in my life. The titles, the positions. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a king, queen included, and priest. All authority has been given to you. There should be no one that goes through much of a season at all where their head is down. Because he's not ashamed to call you brother and friend at all. What's your face doing down? You should be doing the little jig, the dance. He would stand up for you in a court of law. He would be your advocate. In fact, he's interceding for you right this moment, speaking your name before the Father. And he's not sitting there going, yeah, I know. Once again, here we are, Billy again. He's actually joyous in his interceding. That you're one of his. The biggest thing is becoming one of his. He'll get you there. If you're open at all to the process, he'll get you there. But becoming one of his, so much stuff kicks in. It's time to appreciate it rather than looking at all your faults, all your failures, all your flops, all your flounders. Start celebrating the fact that he's got that covered. More than you ever have. Celebrate that. Freely you have received, freely give. If you haven't freely received all these things that he's given, plus I had a list of more that would take us till 5 o'clock. If you haven't freely received that, you're not going to freely give it out. You're going to have this glitch inside yourself that says, well, I shouldn't be giving it out because, I haven't done this right and haven't done that right. And why don't you step out into giving it out? Because you have received it, receive it more, and just step out into it. Don't take the step of, I'm not good enough to step out into it. Just start believing I'm free enough to step out into it. And you'll be amazed at what happens. All the things that you think that you can't do, you'll suddenly be doing them. All the things you think were impossible and would take years, you're suddenly doing them. Back to Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He's freely given us all things. There's no charges against us. There's no separation from the love of Christ in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can come against Jesus' love for you. So if there's been a belief, oh, well, he doesn't love me as much today as he did yesterday because yesterday I was praising his name and I was worshiping and I was, kicking it up for Jesus and I told 3 people about him and today done nothing but hang my head down. And I feel overwhelmed. You know, he loves you the same both days. And his heart goes out to you when your heart is hurting. When your heart is not up to speed, his heart comes towards you, towards you, towards you. If you receive that, that's part of your turnaround. I didn't know that deserved a laugh, but so John 8:31-36, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus has this goal today. I want to make you free. I want to make you freer than you've been. If you've been free, I want to make you freer yet. I want you to have so much freedom in me that it changes everything inside of you. That when you face a trial, you go to joy. And you go, wow, I never felt the freedom to go to joy before. I was always under this big glunk of glunk. Never could get to the joy. But suddenly, you're in joy. I sounded like Pastor Murray Pat there, wasn't I? She makes up words. She has her own dictionary. I love it. Some of us know that dictionary pretty well. Some of us used to keep track and write down. Another thing I love about Pat. Was I talking about Pastor Mary Pat? Another thing I love about her is she has mixed metaphors. The train came into the dock. When your train comes into the dock, and I'm like, wait a minute, but everybody's going, I'm back there, and I see everybody's heads going, and then there's a few people going, well, that's not exactly right, but How she gets the point across in the spirit that, that's how I know when my mind's kicking in and my spirit isn't. Because I first see that it's not quite the way it's supposed to be. But in the spirit, it's right there. Your train does have to come into your dock. And I'm hoping it happens today. Jesus' greatest desire for you today is to be more free. Not to go inside yourself and say, gee, start tightening up. I need to be more free. God, help me. Be more free and tighten up. What you need to do is, get up from your seat, start dancing around in front of people, or do something you haven't done before in the spirit. We say that for healing. We just prayed for healing for you. Do something you haven't done before. Okay. And sometimes they do something that doesn't have anything to do with their healing. They start dancing around. Well, wait a minute, it was your knee. Yeah, okay, well, that's part of the dancing around, but they're also waving their arms like crazy. What'd that have to do with their healing? There's a new freedom that comes when you're healed. You start waving parts of your body that didn't have anything to do with it. That's what he wants to happen in the spirit today to you. Not just hear a message and go, yeah, it was something about freedom. I don't know, didn't make the connection. And walk out a little confused. He wants you to try something you haven't done before in the spirit. You know, if you're a husband and you don't talk to your wife about spiritual things except, you know, in church on Sunday in front of somebody, try talking to her about spiritual things. Pray into her belly. Life. Do something you haven't risked before. Do something that would make that person go, whoa, they've got more freedom. And do it asking God to give you that freedom. Don't just do it, to act like you have freedom. How many know the difference? If you have a friend and they mention something to you, start praying over them. You don't feel like you're the one that should do it. You don't have any wise words of counsel. You know that what the secret is of counsel? Start praying over the person. I found that out. Somebody will mention something to me and they're thinking I've got all this kind of wisdom that I'm going to give to them and so on. I'm like, I'm clueless. I don't know where to start on this one. I wouldn't know even where to begin. I start praying over them. And suddenly I'm praying out things and they're going, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I'm going, yes, Jesus. Whoa. Where did that come from? But if I would have sat there and, you know, done the thing where, okay, yeah, I've had some experience in this before and give them some wise words of counsel and so on. Sometimes they're forgotten within a few minutes for the person. But if I engage the one I'm connected to, I have his name. He gave me a new name. I have an address. It's written all over me. And I start praying with him inside of me. Wow, amazing things happen. How many have experienced that before? Come on. Come on. That's called freedom. Because you're doing something in the natural, in your own thinking, oh, this is going to be limited for that person. Think about Peter the first time he stepped out after denying Jesus 3 times and he was restored by Jesus. Think of him the first time he stepped out. He had to take a risk and believe what Jesus had spoken into him. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. He had to step out into that. Risk it. He couldn't just say, well, but I denied you 3 times. I restored you 3 times. I denied you 3 times. I restored you 3 times. Denial, 50 times. Restored you 50 times. 7 times 70 for you. He's trying to show us something. If you think you can, you know, get to the place where you screw up so much that God's going to finally say, you're not my friend. The love of God has been breached. Sorry. I don't call you brother anymore. You're not a saint. You're not a royal priesthood. You're not a son or daughter. You're out of the family. You're going to be waiting a long time. So why do you take yourself out of those positions? Why do you take yourself out of those names and try to call yourself something different? Sinner. You're not a sinner. You are not a sinner. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a sinner. But I sin. You're not a sinner. What? You don't have the label. You can't have the label. You can't have the label sinner and son at the same time. You can't have the label sinner and daughter at the same time. By definition, when you became a son or daughter, your father took care of it through Jesus. So you can sin, but you sin within the family. And the family does the correcting within the family. Not so bad. It's a perfect family. And you get all the rights and privileges of the family. And so, you know, sooner or later you start saying, I hate sin. This is just too good to be wasting time on some kind of habit. I need to get rid of that. I need to have more freedom so that I can enjoy the good stuff of being in this family. Now, some of you, I think, secretly would like to be in Bill Gates' family. It's not a secret, okay. Okay, you may not like his politics, you may not like his, you know, religious preferences, but you do like his money. What it could do. Probably for the kingdom and a little bit for you. And there would be rights and privileges if you were in his family. But they're not like these. Obviously, Bill Gates' money can't get any of us to heaven. But you have all of this. And freedom is the door into it. It's not sitting and going, I'm going to just try to beg God to forgive me enough to get there. It's not going to do it. People tried it. And oftentimes it works for a little while and they look like, wow, they really came out of it. But oftentimes, at the end, they don't make it to the finish line. Because you make it to the finish line through his freedom in your life. Because you don't want to leave the family. You don't want to sin. You don't want to do that stuff. You hate it. When it happens in you, you hate it. But what I'm saying this morning is, don't hate yourself. Step into these names. Speak them over yourself. Speak them to yourself. I am a saint. Sounds funny to me, Lord. Say some more of them. I'm a son. That sounds a little funny to me, Lord. I'm your friend. That one really sounds funny. I'm your brother. I'm your treasure. I'm your pearl of great price. On and on and on. Why are all these in here? Because he means it. He means it. Others may have failed to mean it for you in your life, but he means it. The more you can soak in that freedom, the more you're going to be effective for the kingdom long term. How many people have come to this body over the years? Oh, I love it here. Oh, I love what's going on here. Man, I just feel the presence of God. Wow, I just want to go to the mission field. I just want to do this. I just want to do that. And for a while, it works. But then you talk to them on an individual basis, and they've got all these things that they're condemning themselves on. So much of talking with them is about, why don't you enjoy your freedom? Why don't you forgive yourself? That habit that's got a hold of your life. Jesus has the power to take that out of you if you would just forgive yourself. And before long, they're gone. They were just kind of a quick flash. Wait a minute. We offer being a son in the house, being a daughter in the house. We offer no lording over you. We want to see you reach your destiny. Wow, that sounds great.
just what I want.
But if the person is not free inside, they won't make it long term. No matter what their desire is, no matter how much they speak at the beginning of how they enjoy it and how they like it and how they love the presence of God and the worship and the people here and they're so loving. And if you don't become free, that will wear thin. You'll find something. It won't be hard. And you'll say, that's why I'm leaving. Because it has more to do with whether you're free on the inside than that thing, whatever it is. We're all forgiving one another all the time. People send me texts. I don't respond right away. They think I died. Because I'm trying to respond right away. But if I don't over a period of time, you know, for some reason, they think I've ended my life on the planet. But we're close. We care about each other. It's kind of nice that I'm cared about. And you can be too. But if you don't get freedom, you're not going to stay here long term. You're going to be gone. Because there'll be something that you'll see that you won't like. I mean, that, why do you think it's the kind of the church parade, you know? People, because they're seeing things they don't like, but it's more of an issue of how free they are on the inside. If I had a raise of hands, and I'm not asking for one, how many people at some point wanted to definitely, they were on their way out the door from Frontline? Okay, I'll make it simple for you. I have. Sure. That's a moment when you know you're not free. Because most of those people can't point to God saying they're supposed to go. Because if they did, they would come up and excitedly share that they've heard from the Lord that they're supposed to move on. I'm supposed to move on from Frontline. I've heard from God. But instead, you know, there may be a slide out the door. And, oh, where'd they go? I know you want more freedom. Just tell me it, will you? I want more freedom. I want more freedom. I want more freedom. I want more freedom. Freedom in order that I can be comforted so that I will comfort others. You know, when you're comforted, when you're healed by God, when he comes in and he starts working in your heart and showing you things, wow, that's blocking you from going forward in me. You're not totally free. And we say, would you like deliverance? You go, I don't like that word. Well, deliverance might be something you need for getting more freedom. I don't like that word. I'm afraid of deliverance. There might be some kind of activity that I don't want anything to do with. Most deliverance has to do with heart issues that are blocking you from getting closer to Jesus and enjoying all these names, titles, all these things. It's not about the woo-hoo. So if you're running from that word, that's not a good path to take. Every one of us needs some kind of delivering from things that have held us back from being more free. Addictions, fears, failures, unforgiveness, lack of trust in God, marriage problems, difficulties in the sexual area. So many things we need more freedom on. And I could stand up here and tell you, obey God. Obey God. And you would leave with the same difficulties. His presence is not just a word we use. It's actually a refining thing. He refines into gold. His presence is what speaks to our spirit. Close, Abba close. We have an encounter with him and things change that you can't change on your own. That's one of the reasons I'm here, is because I believe he changes things in me I can't change on my own. I noticed that the first month I was a Christian. There were things that changed in me I didn't beg him for and I didn't work on. I was hooked. I had not been able to change those things on my own. And I had tried. And within 1 month, he had changed things I could not change. I knew he was God. I knew he was big. And as the years go by, it gets bigger and bigger and greater. And I know that he can change things in you to make you so free, we won't recognize you. That would be sweet, huh? That we're constantly talking about the changes in someone else in the positive sense so much. They've changed so much. They're so much more like Jesus than I've ever seen them before. They're so free. Let's stand. And if we have the worship team, we'd like them to come up. They're going to be playing some songs of freedom. And you need to ask some questions of your brother today, of your friend today, of your Savior, of your Lord. He's all those things. When he says, you know, I'm Lord, that means, you know, we bend a knee to him. When he says, I'm a friend, the very one we worship is willing to hold us and help us and strengthen us through intimacy. He's both. He's high and lifted up, but he's also willing to come and hold you in his arms. That's important. When I talked with the lady at the election place this week, you know, she only knows God as high and lifted up. Not bad. But she's not willing to risk anything because of that. She has no freedom because of that. That's why Jesus and our Father and the Holy Spirit decided to tell us what the full relationship looks like. If he's high and lifted up and we always sing holy, 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 we're going to feel like we don't really belong. And that we need something to belong. Okay, well, let's have communion every week. Oh, phew, boy, that'll help me out because I don't belong. It'll be some religious activity that we'll try to cover over, not feeling that we should be a part or belong to the body of Christ. But when you really belong, because he's given you a new name and he's called you not only servant, but son, it's a whole different relationship. It's a relationship of freedom. So as they begin playing some songs of freedom, I want you to ask God a question. I want you to ask your brother a question, your friend a question, the Holy One a question. And that is, what's going to bring more freedom to me? What do I need to do? What do you want me to step into that lets me express that freedom more, that lets me enjoy that freedom more? And whatever he tells you to do, do it. If he tells you to come forward, I'll be praying for people, do that. If he tells you to soak in your seat, you do that. If he tells you to run around the room, if he tells you to dance, if he tells you to sing along with the worship team, I'm good with all of those things because I want you to ask him, what's going to bring me more freedom? How can I be freer? Because I know freedom brings such great joy. And what does the Bible say about joy? It brings you strength. And what are most of us asking for? More strength. It starts with more freedom and having the joy of that. Or you can start with joy and have more freedom. I don't care. But He's going to give it to you. You're going to be the receiver. You can't drum up joy. You can't go around going, I'm going to be more joyful. Let's see, maybe do a little of that dancing some of those people do. Maybe I'll be more joyful. You can't drum it up. You have to receive it from Him. It's a spiritual soak. It's a spiritual receiving. So you just go, yeah, okay, I'm going to receive it. Maybe we'll hear your voice. You've never shouted out in church before, even when everyone says, okay, let's shout to the Lord. And you go, good thing they're shouting because I'm not going to. Or I just don't feel like it or something in me. I don't know. I don't like that shout thing. Maybe that's what He'll tell you to do, just as an expression of new freedom inside of you. Maybe you're so used to being inside the lines of the seats. That's where you feel the most comfortable. That you'll just come out into the aisle. But whatever He tells you, I'm asking you, step into that. Maybe He wants you to go and pray for someone in the body. And He gives you a name or He gives you a face. And you've never stepped out like that before. I'm telling you, step into it. Okay. Like we mean it. Oh. I know we do. Slow. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He stands for, all that He's done for us. We pray freedom on Your people, Lord God. Freedom to enjoy their inheritance, their destiny. Freedom to enjoy all that You've given for life and godliness. All that You've given that we couldn't even ask or think beyond the measure of what You've given, Lord. We thank You, God. We receive it all with a new name, a new address, and the name of God imprinted right on us. I'm accepting You as a son or daughter. I have my name written on you. You are mine. Thank you, Lord. We receive it today deep in our hearts and soak in what it means for us. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Father, we also pray for those in Ghana, Father, Pastor Samuel's daughter Esther, Father, struggling with malaria. We tear down that work of the enemy by the authority that You've given us. We agree together, Lord, in agreement. There is much reward. We are saying no more malaria for Esther. Malaria, go. You hear us. You go. You're an attack from the enemy. You're an agent of the enemy. We don't accept you, and we've seen you go before. You go now in Jesus' name. We agree together with all those in Ghana praying over Esther. And Father, we're just praying for Kofi's family in Ghana, Father. Relative died at 33 unexpectedly. And we're asking God, You would come in with your comfort, that You would come in and comfort those that need comforting so they can comfort others. Comfort Kofi and his entire family, God. We thank You for his life. We pray, God, that You will bring to them a new desire to take on the enemy, Father, even more so. That this person perishing without Him, we don't understand why, God, will just lead us to trust You more and lead the family to trust You more. Trust You more, God, not less, but more. Father, believing that You work all things for the good, even something tragic like this. We give You praise, Lord. You're good. You're always good. Father God, bring faith, not fear, to that situation in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your name. Amen. Amen.